You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. You have an anointing, is the title of this devotion. I know that we may not always think of that, because when we think of somebody as an anointing, we think about a specific minister who has a ministerial gift, as in Jesus in Ephesians 5 gives some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, it says there. And they have a specific grace within the anointing to do a specific work, or that grace enables them to do that work. And that is different to the anointing we have as children of God, as Christians. Today, I want to talk to you. You have an anointing. You are born of God. You are spiritually made alive. You and me, who were dead in sin and trespasses, have been made alive with Jesus Christ, it says in Ephesians 2. And we are spiritually alive through His life in us. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." "But you" is speaking about those who were not of us in the previous verse, who went out from among us, whereby they were manifest that they were not of us. They did not recognize the separation except in association, but not spiritually. They did not recognize the spiritual joining because they never had it. They never were fully reborn, by which they gained access into the fellowship of the saints. They did not understand it. They were associated by attending maybe the local church, and they were in maybe having some kind of experience of enjoying the music, enjoying some of the teaching and whatever, enjoying the friendships, but they never became one of us. They never shared the same spirit together, as it says here in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, where are we? Here's Ephesians. It says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Through Christ, we both, the Jew and the Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God. Therefore, you're not a stranger. What makes us a member? What makes us part of the family? It is the Spirit of life in Christ, by which you are baptized into one body. It says here in 1 Corinthians 12, okay, real quick, just these few verses, and I think it's important you see them. Most of you will know them, so they're good. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Drink means you receive inwardly the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you're part of the family, or as it would say here in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For we did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but we received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Romans 8, 15, 16. You see, that is the anointing of the Holy One that we have received. Again, for you have received an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, is the scripture we're studying at the moment, 1 John 2, 20. And we have this witness by which we're part of the family. That's the joining. And then you can have come out of different backgrounds, out of different cultural traditions. Like the Greeks had different cultural traditions to the Jews, the free to the slave. Those were different cultures within their families, different ways of relating, different communicating, different emphases of values in life and all of that. And while those things are still there and can have their value, they did not obstruct the joining together, because the spirit by which we're joined, that anointing, is what makes you feel part of the family. It's what makes you feel part of the house of God. It's what makes you know you're a child of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children. And by that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. That Spirit is the anointing. Anointing means embodiment of the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 4, there is an important thought for you and I, how to utilize the anointing that we have. Because this anointing we have from the Holy One is, yes, deposited in us. We become its keeper, but not its master. We're not its master. It is a oneness. It is a harmony. It is a joining together with the Father. And we are where you've been entrusted with it, where you feel the value of it and you hold it within honor and respect, this anointing, this spirit of sonship, this spirit by which you know you're part of the body, right? And within that kind of grace, I want to read to you Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, he's writing from prison, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Here comes what shows that you value what God has entrusted you with. He's entrusted you with this anointing. That you value this anointing has shown that you, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. This anointing you have, that you have received from the Holy One, this witness of the Spirit in you, is the Father Spirit in you. You walk humbly with such a treasure in the earthen vessel. You walk meekly, and that you are grateful and humble that you have such a treasure been entrusted to you is shown by how you are towards others, that you walk worthy of this treasure of the anointing is shown by how in all lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering, you bear one another in love, because you're keeping the connection of that Spirit, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me read you that verse from the Classic Amplified here in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 2, okay? Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility, and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances because you love one another. be eager to strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in its binding power of peace, because there's only one body and one Spirit, just as there's but one hope that belongs to the calling you've received. There is only one Lord, one one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading all, and living in us all. Now, this is the charge I have for you this day. Let this grace of this anointing be shown in the humility, in the meekness, in the gentleness that you have towards your fellow believers, sharing the same Spirit, receiving one another by the Spirit, recognizing the Spirit in one another. Oh, how I love this. How this makes me happy beyond measure. David says in Psalm 16, my greatest joy is to be with God's devoted people. He also writes, or the psalmist also writes, how lovely when brethren dwell together in unity. It is like when the anointing oil came down on Aaron and overflowed him. There is where God commands his blessing, in that sharing of his Spirit, in that recognizing of his Spirit in one another, in this receiving one another in the Spirit. Or I recognize the Spirit in you, you in me, and now we have fellowship together despite what we're like after the natural nature. That is, my dear friend, how we value the anointing. Never, ever can you say, I have an anointing of the Holy One and act superior to any man, act arrogantly over others, think you are more better or more powerful, or that is never the nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit perfectly embodies Jesus. Jesus embodies the Holy Spirit. Jesus was meek and gentle and lowly, gracious, forbearing, and kind. Never would he portray some superior behavior, some overruling, rude behavior. That is never the anointing. That is not the anointing. We should always know the Spirit of Christ that bears the graces, the abilities. And the Apostle Paul, he writes to the Corinthian church, he said, you know, I could not yet speak to you as those who are spiritually minded, because you're still so carnally minded when you preference one over another and strive among one another who is the greatest. Are you then not yet carnal when you are this way? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, and 3. How important it is that we take on the nature of the anointing. That anointing is proven in its character, nature, and what we see in Jesus. That we are continuously embodying this lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. I remind myself of this, and I long to be perfected in it when I read Colossians 2, verse 12 and 13, which I've so often done with you. It says, chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 12, clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen one, his own picked representative, who are purified, holy, and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity, mercy, kind feeling, lowly opinion of yourself, gentle ways, patience which is tireless, and long-suffering that has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle, forbearing one another. And if one has a difference or a grievance or a complaint against another, pardon each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven, so you must. Oh, friends, I read these thoughts and I know this is the nature. This is the character of the anointing that I have. And I want to embody that character and that anointing in how I love others, receive others. You will never come to fullness in the Spirit if you seek to dominate and control and overrule others or be superior, because that is empty anointing. That is not the Spirit. That is self-exalting itself. Never would God ever condone such a thing, neither should we ever seek that within ourselves. The opposite. We should shun it with all that's in us. We should weep at the altar of mercy and say, Lord, rid me of this self-seeking, rid me of this self-exalting, rid me of this desiring man's praise and man's honor. Rid me of these feelings of feeling threatened by others or feeling superior than others or seeking to be somebody. Never, God, do I seek to be anybody. I seek for you to be all in all. And I thank you, Father, for working the nature of your Spirit in me, in all the lowliness and gentleness and kindness you work in me through your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.